going on, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, if you look at the title, it'll pretty much explain everything for you about what this is all about and what is going to be in store for you. It is a podcast where I mainly talk about animation. It could be possible that I can go into other subjects, but the main thing here is about animation. But specifically, though, it goes into the latest news that has occurred this week. For example, on this episode, I will be discussing about a brand new TV channel that would be a competitor against the likes of stuff like Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, Disney Channel, and all that stuff. Then afterwards, we will be looking into the brand new addition to the Walt Disney Signature Collection. Then afterwards, we could be looking at more Wallace and Gromit in the future. Then afterwards, we will be looking into a documentary called Never Ending Man. And finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Okay, so for our first story that we have right over here, this is going to be really interesting because this is not going to be about a new movie or a new TV show or a new franchise that would be in development. This is something that would be far bigger than that. What I will be talking about is going to be a brand new channel. This is going to be an entire television channel that will go in competition against Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're pretty much going head to head. And this is actually going to be coming from a big name company. And what I am talking, of course, is going to be a channel called Universal Kids. Now, to explain to you a little bit what it's about, I'm going to go and take my source here from Cartoon Brew, and it stated, "The new channel, Universal Kids, will launch on September 9th, replacing NBC Uni's current preschool channel, Sprout. The target audience for Universal Kids is children 2 through 11. Initially, Universal Kids programming will run only after 6 p.m., while Sprout content will fill up the mornings and afternoons." So, basically with Universal Kids is that technically you could say it's not necessarily replacing anything, or okay, actually I did immediately state that it is going to replace it, but basically Universal Kids is going to be the big channel, but you're still going to have a lot of the Sprout stuff in the morning and in the afternoon, but after 6 p.m. that's when you're going to get the legit Universal Kids stuff. And to start things off, they already stated that they have some shows planned, but they're just going to be the ones that are already currently going, and they're just going to start things off by airing reruns of some DreamWorks Netflix shows. It already stated that they're going to have All Hail King Julien and Dragons, Riders of Berk, that's going to be airing on Universal Kids so far. But so far, they did promise that later in the future, this could be the home of many TV shows that could be coming from DreamWorks Animation or even Illumination, considering that we are talking about NBC Universal, and so far, they are starting to grow extremely big, like almost to the levels of Disney in animation, considering that they have both DreamWorks and Illumination under their belt. But it also stated that it's not just going to be animated programmings that they're going to air, because they also have another show that is coming up in there, which is actually one of their first original programmings that's going to be in Universal Kids, which is actually going to be Top Chef Junior, which is based on the popular cooking competition show. But instead it's just going to be for kids, because we always got to have a show that's going to be like the kids edition for it. Like, considering that MasterChef already has MasterChef Junior, now I guess with Top Chef, we're going to get Top Chef Junior. And with that said, there's also going to be taking another source here, which is actually going to be interesting to note, though. We're connecting our business in a way that's never been done before, says Bonnie Hammer, chairwoman of NBC Universal Cable Entertainment, which was the first to report the Universal Kids yesterday evening. Hammer also described the channel as a new strategic business model, but while it may be a new model, it's not exactly a surprising one. And apparently, what would go on afterwards in Cartoon Brew is just bragging about how it already predicted that since NBC Universal bought the entirety of DreamWorks Animation, that they could do something to make a spinoff out of it and go and create an entire channel that could go and compete with like Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. So that's basically the whole idea, is that now we got NBC Universal that's going to go on and try to compete in the into the television animation category, or just, yeah, in the television animation industry. And, you know, it would make sense. And I feel like it is about time that they would actually do something like this. Because when you do think about it, all the other big TV channels, they're already owned by a major company. Like, you got Cartoon Network, which is from Time Warner, which is already owned by Warner Brothers, so they're kind of more the representative on that. And then also, well, of course, Disney Channel is from Disney, and on top of that, Disney does have two channels, which is Disney Channel and also Disney XD. And then you also got Nickelodeon, which is from Viacom or Paramount. So you already got those big names, but Universal, I feel like now it's about time that they do put in their little piece on it, instead of doing, like, I guess what Sony is currently doing right now, just make little TV shows based on their franchises and just distribute them into the already existing channels like Cartoon Network and Disney Channel. At least they got their own giant hub. And it does make a little bit of sense, actually, considering that, especially nowadays, one of the strongest assets of DreamWorks Animation right now is actually based on their TV programming, especially the ones that are coming up on Netflix. And I don't just mean the ones that are based on their movies, like The Adventures of Puss in Boots, or The Dragons Riders of Berk, or all the Madagascar ones, like The Penguins of Madagascar, or All Hail King Julian, but also a lot of their original content are actually really big as well. Since right now, the newest big TV show that's actually going on is actually Troll Hunters, and then you also got some of their other stuff, like Dino Trucks and stuff like that. So it would make sense to see that coming into cable television. Like, that would make sense. But I think one of the big advantages that Universal Kids would have is that in the future, they would actually have TV shows based on Illumination films. And this is honestly something that I am really surprised that something that Illumination did not try out yet. Like, I was really surprised that there has yet to be a Minions TV series. I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be annoyed by it. It's like, oh God, please, no more Minions, please stop. But honestly, it wouldn't surprise me one bit that they would go and actually make a TV show based on Minions. I mean, I remember, like the Raving Rabbits, you know, like the ones from the video games that spun off from Rayman Raving Rabbits. Like, they actually got their own TV show that once aired on Nickelodeon. So it wouldn't be surprising to see, like, considering the massive popularity that the Minions have right now, that they would go and spin off their own TV show, especially if it's going to be something like maybe a sequel to Minions, in a sense, that we see the early life of Gru and his relationship with the Minions and stuff like that. Why not just do something like that, or expose more the adventures of Bob, Kevin, and Stuart, you know, just show their little adventures that they would have on the side. They have the potential to do it. But not only that, there is also one huge thing that they could have, or that they do have, actually, that is kind of a big thing when they purchased DreamWorks Animation, is that DreamWorks is actually a giant factory when it comes to properties, because they have so much. You have no idea. When you look at the DreamWorks Classic portfolio, they actually have a lot of stuff. They actually do provide a little list right over here of all the classic properties that DreamWorks Animation has, which would include Casper, Richie Rich, Little Lulu, George of the Jungle, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Mr. Magoo, Gerald McBoing-Boing, Underdog, The Lone Ranger, Dick Tracy, Felix the Cat, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Baby Huey, Where's Waldo, and all those characters. So they could pretty much take any of those and they could actually turn that into a TV show. So there really is a lot of options. And on top of that, let's not forget that, sure, we're focusing a lot on what's currently going on with DreamWorks and also Universal. But this DreamWorks and Illumination. But keep in mind, we're still talking about Universal, and even on their own, they still have a lot of their singular properties, like Woody Woodpecker, and even some of the ones beforehand, like the animated films before DreamWorks and Illumination came in, like The Land Before Time, Balto, An American Tale, and all those things. And I mean, yeah, sure, American Tale, and technically, technically An American Tale and Land Before Time already have their own TV shows. Like, they tried it out beforehand, but you never know what could happen in the future if it could be something that they could go back to. But there is a little bit of a consequence here, though, and that is the fact that TV shows, or TV channels, actually, they're not really as big as they used to be. There is one little consequence that's going on. Let me get back into my source. The New York Times pointed out on its story that Universal Kids launches at a time when other cable kids channels are struggling to deal with internet streamers like Netflix and Amazon, which are building their own robust children's programming. Cartoon Network's 2-11 viewership dropped 15% in the first quarter of 2017 compared to the same period last year, while Disney Channel slid 20% and Disney XD pummeled 27% in their first quarter. So that is actually true, and it also does explain how DreamWorks Animation is actually doing really well with their TV shows, is because they're putting it on a really popular format, which is Netflix. You know, like a lot of people nowadays, like more and more, they would go onto Netflix to go watch the stuff. And even Trollhunters actually did set brand new records, like as one of the most watched kids programmings on the streaming service, you know? So, of course, it could hinder a little bit on how cable television would actually perform. Like, nowadays, you do see stuff like you know, Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, they're kind of struggling. And even, like, when you see Cartoon Network, like, they're at the point where they're becoming desperate to where they would just release whatever's popular and try to exploit the living crap out of that, which could probably explain why they're airing so many reruns of Teen Titans Go over and over and over again. So that could be the big explanation. And now that Universal is trying this out, it could be a bit of bad timing. And yeah, in a sense, this could actually be a bit of a risk that maybe this whole experience with a kids' TV channel might not actually work out for them. And if they do actually want to go and put up more story, or like if they want to bring up more programming based on their properties and stuff like that, then they would have to move it into a place that's already popular, like either Amazon or Netflix. And even in my source, they even bring up like disasters that occurred. Like apparently when Discovery Communications and Hasbro decided to team up and create something called The Hub, and that only lasted for like 4 years before it ultimately shut down. So yeah, like this could be a huge risk. I could see a lot of the benefits that Universal could have by having their own TV channel to go and compete with Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, and Disney. But yeah, it is a risk because we are in an age where we would prefer streaming service than our actual televisions. Who knows what could probably happen? So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But I do wish Universal the best of luck with Universal Kids. And if you are interested to see what Universal Kids has in store, then all you have to do is wait on September 9th at 6 p.m. and afterwards to experience this brand new channel. Now, our next story that we have right over here is going to be about a brand new Blu-ray. And for those of you who have watched my videos on YouTube, then you probably may have noticed around my desk that I do have a pretty large and pretty eclectic collection of DVDs and Blu-rays. And you haven't seen, like, the half of it. And so I think it's pretty much safe to say that I am a pretty huge fan and massive collector of DVDs and Blu-rays, so I do know my stuff. I do know, like, what it takes to have a great Blu-ray and what would end up as crap, and at this point, I am pretty much used to seeing a lot of the standard stuff, like documentaries, deleted scenes, and some trailers and stuff like that, so you have to do a lot more in order to impress me. And usually, Disney would be the company that they would bring out some of the best Blu-rays that I've ever seen, especially with some of the ones that they've done for Pixar or for some of their main things like the Diamond Editions or the Platinum Editions. They can be absolutely phenomenal. But what I am talking about right over here is going to be in their latest collection known as the Walt Disney Signature Collection, in which they have officially announced the fourth installment of what's going to be in there, which is Bambi. Now, Disney actually did release a 30-second trailer presenting that the next one is going to be Bambi. And at the same time, they actually revealed a little bit of what could be the brand new bonus features that are in there. We don't have the full details of it just yet, but if I may go into my source here on Inside the Magic, it says that bonus features on the new reissue of Bambi will include recordings of Walt Disney discussing the challenges and triumphs during the film's production, deleted scenes and deleted characters, in which when you see the trailer, you'll notice that there is one where they would go and talk about a talking grasshopper as one of the deleted characters, stories and effects that Bambi had on the studio, other films and artists, and much, much more. So the reason why they decided to go and do Bambi right now is because this year, it's actually going to be the 75th anniversary, considering that Bambi was released on August 21st, 1942. So yeah, it's actually pretty old at this point. So of course, it would actually be great timing that they would go and release the classic right now. So with that said, though, there is one thing that you would have to go and keep in mind is that, like the article on Inside the Magic stated, this is actually a reissue of Bambi. This is not the first time that it was actually released on Blu-ray. The first time that it did was actually back in 2011, I believe. It's either 2011 or 2012 that they actually released the Diamond Edition of Bambi. And I actually do own that one, and I gotta say, it's actually really, really good. Not only did they bring in a lot of the original bonus features from the Platinum Edition, like they would bring in all those good ones in, but they also have a brand new big one, which, hold on a sec, I just want to go and bring it here. It's actually called, where is it? Yes, it's called Inside Walt Story Meetings Enhanced Edition. Now, what that one is specifically, it's actually a combination of so many bonus features wrapped up into one. So what you would get on that one, it's a combination of watching the entire movie, but then you would also have a commentary, which is actually recreated from Walt's story meeting. So it's like you're listening to a commentary coming directly from Walt Disney himself, along with some of the members of the Nine Old Men when they were young, Percy Pierce, Fred Moore, and all those people. So you pretty much get this legendary commentary. But at the same time, though, you also get to see so many artwork that happened during the production. You also get a lot of interviews in between to learn more about what was going on when they were making that scene. And the list goes on. Like, it was actually a really amazing bonus feature. And it also gives this brand new experience in watching the movie as well. So, like, it's kind of like this massive level up from commentaries. But from what I'm expecting from Bambi is that if they would actually manage to bring back all those bonus features that are on the Diamond Edition and they would put it here, I think we could actually get something that could be very, very solid. And on top of that, like, we would get a whole bunch of brand new stuff that we can learn about the making of Bambi. And on top of that, considering that this is a part of the Walt Disney Signature Collection, I think for many Disney collectors and also for Blu-ray collectors, this is definitely one that everybody's gonna go and keep an eye on. Because so far, when it comes to the Signature Collection, it has a really interesting history, and I think we're probably past the point that they're just starting, because, like I said before, this is going to be the fourth movie that's going to be a part of that collection. And when we look back into the history of this collection, it's actually very interesting, because, let's be honest, it did not put in a good first impression. Like, the first one that was released, a part of it, was, of course, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, since that's the one that started it all. And to be very honest, that one sucked. Like, it was a massive downgrade from the Diamond Edition. And, I mean, sure, you do get, like, a digital copy of Snow White along with, what else do you get? Oh, yeah. Like, you get a Lost Oswald the Lucky Rabbit cartoon. But other than that, you really don't get that much. You only get a little bit of stuff from the Diamond Edition, and that's pretty much it. So it's almost not that worth it, considering how bad it is compared to the Diamond Edition. But then afterwards, it would go and release Beauty and the Beast, simultaneously to go and commemorate the 25th anniversary of the feature film, and also to try to start setting up the hype for the live-action reboot. And with that one, it's fine as it is, I will say. Like, it has a lot of interesting bonus features, but a lot of the amazing bonus content that was from the Diamond Edition, which personally, I do feel like it's easily one of the best Diamond Edition movies that Disney has released. Like, those bonus features can only be found in the digital download section, which for Blu-ray collectors, that's kind of a cheap shot, really, because it kind of feels like if you want to get this, then you have to go and get the downloadable content for the video game. It really sucks, you know? Like, you don't really get all that you promised for. But then things have changed when they recently released Pinocchio for the Signature Collection. And what's interesting about Pinocchio is that there's actually no such thing as a Diamond Edition of that film. So the last time was way back in 2009, I believe, that they released it for the Platinum Edition for the 70th anniversary of the film. And with that, what they actually did with the Signature Collection, I think this is probably the first time that it felt like the Signature Collection was worth it, more so than the previous Blu-ray that it had. Because with Pinocchio, not only did they bring back almost all the great content from the Platinum Collection, but they added in a few new ones as well, including another Lost Oswald the Lucky Rabbit short. And it was fantastic. Like, this is exactly what we were hoping for on the Signature Collection, and it really made it great. So, yeah, like, Pinocchio, personally, I feel like that's probably the first one that the Walt Disney Signature Collection got it right. And now, looking into Bambi, the reason why I say that this is one that people are going to keep an eye on is because this will probably determine the fate of the Signature Collection for many upcoming releases. Because with this one right over here, if they can pull it off right, like I said before, if it can bring in a lot of the great content that came from the Signature Collection, or at the very least, if they could bring back Inside Walt story meetings, then it could actually turn out to be something that's amazing. It could actually turn out into something that's great, and it shows that Disney did learn their lesson about making the Signature Collection, and the ones that will follow will hopefully be fantastic and worth owning, and maybe even better than the Diamond Edition. Or if not, maybe it's just going to be something that maybe it would be just Pinocchio that got a lucky shot, and maybe the Signature Collection won't be as grand. Who knows how it's going to go, but, you know, it is actually pretty interesting. Who knows that how this could actually turn out. But if you guys are interested to actually have Bambi, then you can either get it on digital on May 23rd, or you can go and physically get it on DVD and Blu-ray on June 6th. Now, for our next story right over here, it's actually a rather short thing. Like, the source that I have on The Hollywood Reporter, it's actually just this tiny little article. But it does express some interesting hype. And what I'm talking, of course, is a little interview done by the co-founder of Aardman Animations, Peter Lord. And he was pretty much talking about what's going on at Aardman right now, and also talking about some of the projects that they are currently working on, including Nick Park's Early Man. And it actually stated in here that Peter Lord also discussed about what's going to be going on with some of their existing properties, specifically their most popular duo, Wallace and Gromit. It actually stated right over here, when Nick's not drawing cavemen, he's drawing Wallace and Gromit. I absolutely assume he will do another, but not a feature. I think he found it was too much. I think he liked the half-hour format. So basically, what he's pretty much trying to say is that what Nick Park is currently doing is that whenever he's not working on Early Man, then he has an idea cooking up with Wallace and Gromit. So this is pretty much telling us that there is a possibility that in the future, we could be seeing another Wallace and Gromit short. Not a movie, but just a short. And personally, I feel fine that we could just get another short, because in a way, that's what Wallace and Gromit is. That's how they've always been. Like, so far, we've got a total of 4 shorts, many of which, actually, I think all of them actually got an Oscar nomination, and some of them even got an Oscar win, even. And the movie, well, as amazing as it is, that's more like a special treat than anything. I don't really see people just marching around and protesting at Aardman Animation that they heavily demanded another Wallace and Gromit movie. And yeah, you know, when it comes to the duo, I think it's a great fit that they would just do another 30-minute special, because that's how they were made to be to begin with. I mean, yeah, sure, like I said before, the Curse of the Rabbit cartoon was fantastic and definitely one of the best stop-motion animated features out there, but it's more like a special treat. It's more like something that is special to the special. It's like when you have a TV show and then suddenly would spin off a movie. It's the same thing with Wallace and Gromit. So another adventure with them, it would be absolutely fantastic. And so far, we don't really have any news about it yet. So what I could tell is that it is definitely in early development. Like, Nick Park has the ideas, but he didn't put it in full fruition. It doesn't have a budget yet. It doesn't have a crew yet. It's just, like, I can imagine it's just Nick Park just shooting ideas at Aardman of what other ideas that he can do with Wallace and Gromit. So who knows how that's going to go, but I'm definitely excited. I'm a huge fan of it. I love the shorts, and we'll just see how it goes. And especially the factor that how Aardman Animation has definitely grown as a stop motion company nowadays, with the recent technology that they have, like, I'm sure they could think up of something really crazy to do, something to really add into the thriller and suspense aspect that Wallace and Gromit has always been known for. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I'm definitely excited. In terms of the release, like, I wouldn't be surprised. It'll definitely be something that Nick Park will definitely take on after he would go and release Early Man, which is going to be out at the start of 2018. So, like, after he got his entire high with Early Man, he'll immediately go into creating this Wallace and Gromit short that he's thinking about. Or he could simultaneously do it, and we could actually have it pretty early. So, at the latest, I imagine, of course, as part of the tradition with Wallace and Gromit, they would release it during Christmas time. So maybe Christmas 2018 at the earliest. If not, it would probably be Christmas 2019. We'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But if you're just excited to see more of what Nick Park has in store with Early Man, it actually stated right over here that in the UK, it will be released on January 31st. And it doesn't specify immediately what is going to be released in North America, but I do believe it's sometime in February. I know it's early 2018, but I believe it's February, not too long after the UK would have it. Now, our next story that we have right over here, let us talk about one of the biggest legends in animation that's currently alive, Hayao Miyazaki. And recently, things have been going pretty interesting. Now, somewhere in 2013, we were pretty shocked to hear that Hayao Miyazaki seemed a lot more serious that he would go and retire after he created The Wind Rises. But apparently, that does not seem to be the case anymore, considering that he was working on his animated short, Boro the Caterpillar. It seemed to have sparked this idea, or like sparked his interest once again, to go and create animated features. And everybody, including his producer, Toshio Suzuki, pretty much all agreed that at this point, the only time we know that Hayao Miyazaki is no longer going to be making animated features, it's when he's going to be dead. And even at that, it's going to be way too questionable, because I can imagine even after he would pass away, Studio Ghibli is going to be haunted by this ghost who's going to be constantly making storyboards. But what is interesting right now is that we have heard a lot of news regarding Hayao Miyazaki and what he is doing right now, since he is actually working on a brand new movie, which is stated to be released somewhere in 2020, around when Hayao Miyazaki is going to be 80 years old. And on top of that, recently they did make the announcement that he did finish the storyboards of the first act of the movie, which is highly significant, which that would mean that now the animation process can officially begin while Hayao Miyazaki can quickly go through the rest of the acts. But when it comes to how is it that he suddenly decided to go back into making more animated features, well, apparently that's all documented in this new documentary called Neverending Man, Hayao Miyazaki. And the best way to describe this is that it's basically a sequel to Kingdom of the Sun, where it pretty much chronicles the 2 years after he officially announced that he would go and retire after he completed The Wind Rises, and he would just go and work on Boro the Caterpillar. And during that time, we would see the trials and tribulations that Hayao Miyazaki is having, trying to go and adapt from working on hand-drawn animation to doing computer animation with Boro. But throughout this process, we look into his mindset, how he would pretty much go and work when doing Boro and the Caterpillar, and eventually see how is it that he got back that spark in order to go and make more animated features again. So, yeah, like I said, that's basically the big deal about Neverending Man, is that it's like an unofficial sequel of Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, where we see more of Hayao Miyazaki. And in that regard, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a tough act to follow, because with the Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, it feels like one complete movie. Yeah, some people could say that it's dated and it's not as effective because the ending is basically Miyazaki announcing that he would retire. But like I said, it is actually very, very effective, considering that it pretty much tells us everything that we need to know about Hayao Miyazaki, a bit of his mindset, how he lives outside of animation, just looking a bit of his personal life, like his mindset when he does work, like when he would go and create an animated feature, looking into the entire process, into the making of The Wind Rises, and all that kind of stuff. So basically, it is a big template and the quintessential documentary that you need in order to go and see the life of Hayao Miyazaki, along with a little bit of some history to it, like how he got into animation and all that kind of stuff. But with Never Ending Man, it feels like it could be possible it's going to pretty much copy a little bit what Kingdom of Dreams and Madness already did. Like, we are seeing, like, in the trailer that is provided, it's pretty much showing the same stuff. Like, we see Hayao Miyazaki in his personal life and his own home. We also see Hayao Miyazaki working on an animated feature. The only big difference is that right now, he's just working on an animated short, which is Boro the Caterpillar, and just seeing, the difficulties that he would have into adapting to computer animation, and that's pretty much it, really. No other huge significance with it. And yeah, like, it could be a tough act to follow, and maybe it's not going to be as good as Kingdom of Dreams and Madness, but I'm pretty sure it's still going to be something that would be really interesting to see how Hayao Miyazaki is in its current state. It's kind of like an update, and like I said, it's an unofficial sequel, so we would see more of what Hayao Miyazaki would have in store. And who knows how this could actually turn out. And yeah, like, if you definitely are a fan of Hayao Miyazaki, if you're a huge Studio Ghibli fan and some of your favorite movies would actually include stuff like Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, The Wind Rises, or any of that kind of stuff, then this could definitely be worth watching. It could be fascinating to go and check out how Hayao Miyazaki is doing, and even checking some clips of Boro the Caterpillar, which, considering that we might not fully see it for ourselves, unless we would actually have to go and take a trip to Japan to go to the Ghibli Museum and actually go see that there. But if you guys are interested to actually go and see it, apparently it says that the movie will be streaming on NHK World TV on June 3rd and June 4th. Alright, so it is now time that we shall go and end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And for this week, let me tell you how I actually found out about this story, because honestly, it was actually pretty crazy. Now, for those of you who actually own an iPhone and stuff like that, you know when you would swipe to the left and you'll find a little section about the news, and most of it would be reporting about what's going on in your local area and what's going on with your country and all that kind of stuff. And since I am Canadian, I do get a lot of news about what's going on in Canada and around my area as well. But then there's this one little article that really caught my interest, and I look at it and I'm like, what the fridge is it? And honestly, all I could say is that it is just crazy. Like, wow, I cannot believe I found something like this, and it definitely was a fascinating read, I must say. Now, this is actually regarding the worst thing that would ever come out of Canada, or at least what this article is explaining what is the worst thing. Now, if you would go and ask anyone else, like, not in, maybe not in Canada, but Just ask literally anyone else what would be the worst thing to ever come out of Canada, you'll probably get a variety of answers. Some people would probably say that it would be celebrities like Justin Bieber and Tom Green. Others would say it could be whack job politicians like Rob Ford and René Lévesque. Or some people could say that it could be the creation of poutine and how it could quickly clog up your arteries before you can even list any of the ingredients that are in there. Or the worst of them all could be those people who would say sorry so many times for the smallest and insignificant things, which I'll tell you right now, in real life, I'm actually kind of one of them. But this article is saying that it is none of that. It's something that is far worse than any of those things combined. And it is actually the most popular Canadian children's program, Caillou. So, some of you are probably curious. You may have never even heard about what Caillou is. So, here's the thing with Caillou. It's basically the story of this bald-headed 4-year-old boy. And what he does, well, is just looking into his life. That's it. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna go and say it. Screw Seinfeld. This is the real TV show about nothing. That's all that it is. You just see Caillou doing a thing. And that's it. That's all he does. And let me just go and read a little bit here. Produced in Canada and inspired by a Quebec children's book series, Caillou attracts a stunning level of animosity for a series about the relatively uncontroversial daily life of a 4-year-old boy. So that's what it is. You just see the life of Caillou and that's it. But my God, people hate Caillou. Like, it is ridiculous. Apparently, it actually stated that if you go and Google Caillou hate, you'll find that there are over 400,000 search results, which would even include YouTube videos, Facebook pages, articles, and all that kind of stuff. And even on IMDb, you would find that there are so many people slamming it and try to give it so many negative reviews. So you might be wondering, why is it that this show right over here that's just about a 4-year-old bald-headed boy is getting so much hate? Like, what is there to hate about Caillou? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Caillou is such a freaking annoying brat. Apparently, Caillou has, like, no manners, no respect whatsoever. He constantly whines and complains. In fact, where can I go and read this? Okay, yeah, it says here, the reason for all the hate is because Caillou is a shameless whiner. Virtually every episode of the show focuses on Caillou whining his way through a mundane task without reprimand or consequence. For lengthy segments, in fact, whining can constitute Caillou's only interaction with the surrounding world. And what is actually very interesting is that there's even a video version of this entire article, and the guy would even show an entire clip just coming from one episode, which would actually go on for a while, of all the whining that Caillou would have. Like, whenever he's not necessarily getting what he wants or things are not going his way, like, you just see Caillou going, "Hey, but that's not fair, but I wanted this. I just want to have that. It's dark in here, Mommy." Like, you're gonna get that into every freaking episode. And sometimes it can go into extreme levels as well. Like, he can even throw out godforsaken temper tantrums. And actually, a good point that it even brought up is that Caillou's commitment to brattiness is so total. In fact, it is included in the theme song, where Caillou would say, "Growing up is not so stuff." I kind of screwed that up. Anyways, "Growing up is not so stuff, except when I've had enough." And at that clip right there, you just see Caillou, like, whining and complaining. Like, he would legit throw a temper tantrum. So you pretty much get it immediately in the theme song that Caillou would be whining and complaining his way through life and doesn't seem ashamed of it. It sounds like he's proud of his whining and complaining. Is that, hey, as long as it works, you know, as long as I scream and I whine and I complain to everything around me, I would end up getting what I want, right? Oh my God, it's ridiculous. But the worst thing that would actually come out of it, why there are parents who actually passionately hate Caillou, is mainly because when children would watch this, it has been reported many times, and it's actually very common, that people would just immediately, well, not people in general, for God's sakes, I don't see an adult trying to copy Caillou, that children would watch this, and they would think that Caillou's actions are actually okay, that it is fine to throw temper tantrums and to be whining all the time in order to go and get what you want. Because, hey, if Caillou does it, then it's okay for me to do it as well. And by the way, I just want to say right now, if you don't know what Caillou means, actually, Caillou is actually the French word for rock or pebble, something in which you want to throw at the little brat after listening to 10 minutes of his frickin' whining. But the worst part about it, the worst part about why is it that children are so influenced to be as whiny and bratty as Caillou, is that the world that Caillou is set in, it's so paranormal. It is so unnatural. It's the fact that Caillou would constantly whine and complain, like even through everything in his life, and there are no consequences. Caillou somehow lives in this world that there is no discipline and there is no consequences to his actions. Like nothing bad would happen to Caillou even when he is at his worst behavior. And his parents, they just do his every whim. They're not even parents. They're just like servants that do everything that Caillou wishes. And all they can do is just deal with Caillou's crap. That's why children think that it's okay what Caillou is doing, because they don't think there's much consequences to what Caillou is doing. And let me tell you right now, this is not the kind of children's show where kids would actually learn a lesson, you know, stuff like brush your teeth or learn the alphabet or learning how to do math or do your homework or do your chores. Like, honestly, the chances of watching a Caillou episode where you would learn your lesson is as small as winning a lottery ticket. Like, you'd be incredibly lucky if your kid would watch an episode of Caillou and they would learn something from it. With the exception of being a massive brat and you can get whatever you want by just whining and complaining and nothing bad will happen to you. So that's the huge problem, is that it somehow seems to be encouraging kids to be a brat, to be whining and complaining. In fact, one of the worst things about it is that when other people that are not Canadian that would watch Caillou, and I'm just going to read this in the article, apparently this is news to me, but sadly it's pretty much saying that this has understandably led to theories that this is an accurate portrayal of Canadian parenting and that Canada is raising a generation of psychopaths, or that Caillou's parents are so blasted our Canadian weed that they are unable to summon their presence of mind necessary to properly discipline their child. So basically, there are some people that apparently would legitimately believe that this is how Canadian parenting works. Like, we're not daddy of five bad parenting, but we're still pretty bad parents for not really giving a crap. Or we would end up being just so high on weed that we just don't care. Like, we're just way too zoned out to even notice that we would have a kid or something like that, which I'm going to say right now, no, this is not Canadian parenting. This is not good parenting in general. In fact, this would actually go and lead to an archetype of people, which are actually called Caillous. And if you want me to describe to you what a Caillou is, It's actually something that no one should be, by the way. A Kaiju is someone who has no sense of respect and no sense of discipline, and all they can think about is their needs and themselves. And they would always whine and complain their way in life. Like, the only way that they could interact when things are not necessarily going in their way is just by whining and complaining. And even the article itself on its video actually did bring up some examples of Kaiju, where you got some celebrities that are just a bunch of Kaijus, like the Kardashians. You would have rich white people that are just a bunch of Kaijus. You would have a lot of dumb American Kaijus who are so foolish to think that it's a good idea to elect another Kaiju as their president. And yeah, so on and so forth. And actually, if you want to find a place where it is littered with nothing but Kaijus, then just look at the comment section. No matter what it is, rather it be a video, a Facebook post, or whatever, you will definitely find a whole bunch of Kaijus right there. In fact, as a YouTuber, that's part of my job, is dealing with a whole bunch of freaking Kaijus. But yeah, honestly, it's absolutely ridiculous with how Kaiju is pretty much going. And the craziest thing about Kaiju is that, holy crap, it is still going on to this day. I kid you not. As I'm recording this, Kaiju is almost turning 20 years old. I remember as a kid when Kaiju was a brand new thing on television. It started, I believe, somewhere in 1998 or somewhere around that. And it's still going on to this day. They're still making Kaiju episodes. But some of you might be wondering, okay, Kaiju is so bad to the point that people absolutely hate it, and there are numerous petitions out there that would go tell people to take Kaiju off the air. Why is it still going on? Well, the big reason, according to this article, is saying that Kaiju is just so cheap to make. I mean, right now there are over 200 episodes right now, and it even says right here, somehow I can't really speak. One reason may be that the show is cheap. Kaiju features bargain basement animation, a bare-bones soundtrack, and a cast of five voice actors. So really, there isn't much to go and create a Kaiju episode. Like, when you do think about it, it is actually very true, considering the animation is highly simplistic. Like, this is some of the most simplistic animation that you could find. There's no massive complexity with Kaiju's movements or anything like that. Also, at the same time, like, just a few voice actors just doing it on the fly. Like, that's no problem right there. And even, like, the writing. Like I said, this is a show about nothing. So all you have to do is just think of a scenario that Kaiju would be and just write it there. And literally, that's it. Just write, Kaiju visits a firehouse. Kaiju visits the doctor. Kaiju checks out his grandma for the 20th time. Kaiju would just find a bug. Literally, that's it. That's all you have to write for freaking Kaiju. And because of that, it actually makes great filler. That's all it is. It's just TV fluff that you would put in on specific mornings and stuff like that so that kids can actually go and watch. And there are some parents out there who would actually just use Kaiju kind of as an excuse to go and distract their kids, not necessarily realizing the consequences that would come with it. So with all that said, though, like, if you are a parent, like, you probably have to learn about your kids regarding discipline. You have to point out that what Kaiju is doing is actually very bad to make sure that they themselves don't become someone like Kaiju. You pretty much have to do the same thing, like, if your child just stumbled upon seeing Donald Trump on television. It is your responsibility as a parent to point that out and say that the person that you see on television is a very bad person and you should not be like that. You need to learn to respect others. You need to learn to be nice. You need to learn to go and not complain your way through life, because whining and complaining will get you nowhere and it makes you look like a bad person, like who you see on TV, rather it be like Trump or Caillou. So that's kind of the big thing, is that parents, if you want to go and take care of your kid, if you want to be a good parent, just point out that Caillou is not good. Your kid should not be like Caillou. If your kid does watch Caillou, you need to point out the things that you have to go and tell them what to do and what not to do in that situation. Like I said, Caillou does not offer much lessons. So it's your responsibility to offer the lessons. So that's going to be your job, to go and teach your kid what is okay and what is not okay, what is good behavior and what is not. So parents, that's what you should do. Raise your kid right. Don't raise your kid to be a Caillou. And with all that said, that is all that I've got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can go and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can go and find me on my Twitter at animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be lovely. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that little like button in our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!